Coming up, I'm going to tell you the top skill that you need to succeed in the workplace. And then quiet quitting, what is it? Why is it on the rise? And what it could mean for you? And I'm going to coach you up. Let's go. All right, folks, coaching you up so that you get the competitive edge to make more money and experience more meaning. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, what's the top skill? I mean, I'm kind of putting a stake in the ground on this one. I you know, this would be a fun little cocktail party argument. You know, it's not politics, so no one get their feelings hurt. But if you were going to have a conversation at a group gathering, you say, okay, what do you think is the most important skill that you need to succeed in your professional life? And I would go, me. I would raise my hand. And I would say, and I'll tell you, it's also the most important skill to win in your personal life. So today, Alex is a twofer. You're going to get some wisdom on professional growth and personal growth as well. So here it is. No more setup needed. I think the top skill you need to succeed is likability. I just believe that the ability to win with people, okay, let me just call it that. And parents, those of you who are not parents and you're in a situation where you're going, I want to get ahead. What can I do to help? Just how win with people. Somebody right now is going, Ken, I feel stuck. I'm getting overlooked at work. Figure out a way to win with people. Ken, I'm not catching any breaks. Win with people. I don't feel like I have a ton of skills and experience. Win with people. There's an old phrase that I think just about everybody's heard. And if you're in your 20s, you haven't heard it, it's going to make a lot of sense to you. But the phrase goes like this. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And so I really believe that to be true. And therein lies why I believe likability, or let's just call it winning with people. I could have titled today's show, Win with People, because that's what likability does. It allows you to win with people. Now, there are days where we lose with people. I've had my share of losses. Yeah, we're real people. We hurt. You know, we let stuff affect us. We don't pay attention. We get too self-focused. I mean, all those things come into play. But the reality is if you focus on trying to win with people, when you win with them, watch, opportunities for you to win literally show up and present themselves. Hi, I'm an opportunity. Take me. You know, it's like we get all hung up on strategies. And I love strategies. I love tips. I mean, goodness gracious. We did a show last week where I think I came up with 6.5 things to do. I mean, look, folks, I get all hung up on the numbers. But you know what? If I could boil it all down for those of you who aren't where you want to be. So I don't care what the circumstances. I don't care what situation you are in. I don't care what industry you are in. If you are not where you want to be, your primary focus should be to win with people. Now, you may have to get qualified and get some training. I get that. But while you're doing that, guess what you're also doing? Anybody know what I'm going to say? Win with people. Be likable. It's a superpower. Now, a lot of people think that likability is something you're born with. That's not true. Anybody listening and watching today can go from zero to hero in this. Now, there's some people that naturally have some characteristics that do make them a little bit more likable, you know. But it's like saying, well, I'm an introvert, so it's much harder for me to be likable. That's total garbage. Total garbage. Some of my most valued relationships and friends are men that are absolutely introverts. Extremely likable. Because when I'm spending time with them, they win me over. That's where the term winsome comes from. Boy, there's a great word. That's today's word of the day. We don't actually have a word of the day program, but if we were going to create one today, today's word, winsome. Be winsome. In other words, it's a synonym for likability. So you can develop likability. So I thought I would go with, okay, here we go. All right. I can't help myself. I got to have a list. Got to have some tactics. So I think there are three simple things for those of you who feel like, you know what, I'm not winning with people as much as I'd like. If I'm honest and I grade my likability, I don't know that I'm where I want to be. Good news. Three characteristics that you can develop that'll help you win with people and be more likable. Here we go. Number one, kindness. To be kind is a combination of empathy, meaning I feel what others are feeling. I put myself in their shoes. There's a tremendous amount of understanding there. Then I act on that. That's compassion. And then I'm always looking for ways to be helpful. Act when those are in need. Always looking to be helpful, to add value to people. That's the combination. Kind means to be empathetic, compassionate, and helpful. And remember this, compassion, everybody gets that. Well, I want to help the homeless person. I want to help the single mom. That's wonderful. We got to do that. But just being helpful is looking for opportunities in the workplace. Hey, you see a coworker struggling. Hey, let me help. I give you an example. I didn't plan to say this, and I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I want to illustrate a very simple way that we're always looking to be helpful. So I was getting my hair cut yesterday afternoon, evening. And would you believe that the AC unit in my hairdresser's studio was leaking? And she said, oh, I hope this doesn't fall down while I'm cutting your hair. It would have been right at my feet. And I'm looking up. And it's one of those, styrofoam tile type deals. And this thing's leaking so bad you could see it sagging. And it's coming through. And I'm going, 10 minutes from now, that whole thing's falling. So she gets done with my hair and I'm paying. It's a studio. She rents a little studio in this bigger place. And I say, hey, is there a ladder in here? She goes, yeah, I think there is one over here in this. I said, okay, show me where it is. She goes, you got to go. I know, but I'm fine. So I go get the ladder, Joe. I get on the ladder. I push through and I see what's going on. The tile next to it. I'm up there, cell phone light. I'm looking. And I go, okay, good news. There's not a giant pool of water. It's a small pool of water. So I said, I could take the tile out. Or we can relieve the pressure and hopefully the whole thing will fall down. So I helped her figure it out. Took a pair of scissors, poked a hole in it. Now the water's dripping a little bit nicer and it should keep it from collapsing. And then I left. Did I save the day? No. Was I helpful? Yes. So this is the idea. Be kind. Be fun. Look for opportunities to be fun. Right? Just be fun. Hey, tell a funny story. Do a little fun prank. Make everybody laugh. Be silly. The third thing, be positive. Just be positive. Clamp down the negative talk. So there's the three, kind, fun, and positive. There it is. Kind, fun, positive. You want to win with people? Be kind, be fun, be positive. And watch people go, hey, you're awesome. Would you like an opportunity? What is quiet quitting? I unpack it next. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. I am your coach, your counselor, and your cheerleader. I want you to make more money and experience more meaning in your work. Have you ever discovered something new, and when you realize how new it was and how cool it was, you realize your entire perspective changed? It's like you knew something different was possible. You didn't know it before. And that's why I endorse my friends at ZipRecruiter. Some of you right now are in a okay job. Some of you are in a dead-end job. Some of you are in a toxic job. And yet you've kind of just accepted it because you don't know if there's anything better out there. You think there might be, but the reality is you don't know. And that's why you need to go to ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. It takes just a few minutes to fill out a profile. And once you get that resume attached with the profile, they begin pushing you, recruiting for you, promoting you, and they put the company directly in touch with you. And you just never know until you look. And it's a free service to you. Companies pay them for access to great talent. That's you. Go today. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Okay. So I'm going to talk about a new term. Now, I will tell you, full disclosure, in the form of maybe a confession. Sometimes I get a little irritated with new ways of saying the same thing. Okay, so let me give an example. So I have talked about imposter syndrome before on the show, and I'm just like, stop. You're not an imposter. You're not fraudulent, and you don't have a disease. You're dealing with doubt, right? So, you know, and I unpack this, and I'm just saying I get a little irritated with us trying to put new phrases and monikers on things. It's the same old thing. And so here's the next one, Alex. It's called quiet quitting. What is it? A couple of sources here starting to pop up in the news. And I'm telling you right now, Alex, I will be on the news sometime soon talking about this. My guess is. So what is it? So quiet quitting is essentially a rejection of the idea that work has to take over your life and that you as an employee should be going above and beyond in your role. Now let's stop. Now this is from the New York Post. No one should ever believe that work has to take over your life. Are there times where it's crazy? A crazy season? Are there times where you work for an overbearing boss and company and they act like it? Yes, but this is not a philosophy. And now here's the insidious part of this, the thing you got to be very careful of, is that you shouldn't be going above and beyond in your role. What? Okay. If you want to live a life of average, but if you want to be excellent, guess what that means? Above and beyond. Excellence is always predicated on going above and beyond. Duh. So apparently, this concept has its origins in China. I don't know if I'm going to get flagged and kicked off the internet for saying this, but I'm reporting this from the New York Post. Please don't banish me. It's known as lying flat or Tang Ping. The trend jump started in April 2021 when an online post about the concept went viral. With the author poking holes in the old mindset that work must be your life. Another viral TikTok about the movement sparked a lively discussion. And I don't know if this is the one, but is this the one here? Great. So I want to play this and then I'll continue to unpack this. Let's play this viral TikTok.
I recently learned about this term called quiet quitting, where you're not outright quitting your job, but you're quitting the idea of going above and beyond. You're still performing your duties, but you're no longer subscribing to the hustle culture mentality that work has to be your life. The reality is, it's not, and your worth as a person is not defined by your labor.
No, I agree with that part right there. I agree with the second half. Your life is not defined by your work. Well, let me say this. Your value as a human being is not defined by your work. You are valuable. You are made in the image of God. You are a beautiful creation. You have tremendous value. However, we are defined by what we do. Hello. We just are. You ever wonder how they came up with the idea of calling a person who paints a painter? Oh, here's one. A person who lays bricks, they're called masons or bricklayers. Okay. Don't tell me we aren't defined by what we do. Now, the fact of the matter is your value as a human being should not be attached to your profession or the amount of money in your bank account. That I agree with. You are invaluable. I believe wholeheartedly in the precious sanctity of someone's life. You are invaluable, friend. Make no mistake about it. But anyway, so this catches on. So this thing goes crazy. And so we there's a big old Reddit thread attached to this TikTok coming out of Australia. Here's a couple of comments. I just want to focus on two. I went from putting in 110% into everything I did to the absolute bare minimum required to keep me happy and employed. All right, come back to that. Versus this one. My work ethic is still strong, but I no longer put my hand up for every other shift, and I say no to some that are asked of me. Now, these are two very different manifestations of quiet quitting. I think the first one is really, again, I didn't create this term, but this is real quiet quitting. Look, instead of giving my all, it literally says, I did the absolute bare minimum. That's quiet quitting. In other words, they're disengaged. And for years, I think we're approaching 10 years of Gallup putting out data where the number remains about the same, 66, 68, 70% of Americans are disengaged in their work, doing the absolute bare minimum. This is not a new phenomenon. It's just a new way to say it. Because the second statement was from a nurse. My work ethic is still strong, but I'm no longer feeling pressure to say yes to the overtime shift. Now, that's a boundary. That's healthy. She's not a quiet quitter. She's someone who goes, you know what? I got to put some boundaries up. Another person said, I've been doing this for years. Yeah, no duh. Others pointed out, this isn't a new concept, claiming it's nothing more than healthy boundaries. Well, the second one's a healthy boundary. The first one is just good old-fashioned people not being engaged. So then Fox Business has on in this article from them, they cite Amy Morin, a psychotherapist. She says, quiet quitting refers to a personal decision to quit putting in too much effort at work. They have decided to put in the bare minimum at work. And then she goes on to say, some people are doing this because they recognize that despite their effort, working long hours or overachieving doesn't do them any good. Oh, Amy, come on. Half of that sentence is right. The other half is wildly wrong. Overachieving always does us good. It's the very word itself. I am achieving excellent results. I am achieving promotions. I am achieving fatter paychecks. Got to be careful with what we say. She goes on to say they might simply become happy being average employees who set healthy boundaries. Amy, no one is happy being average. This is nonsense. I got to tell you, this is why I'm reporting on this. If you think that quiet quitting, the way we've defined it as putting in the bare minimum, is going to make you happy, you are wrong. If you think being average in anything is going to make you happy, you're wrong. It is a form of settling for less than your best. Not what I think is best, but your best. Now, she does say this, she does point out, and I agree with her on this one. I disagree with her twice. This quiet quitting culture is just people trying to numb the pain of burnout. And it's really a lack of meaning. It's not just the schedule. So, hey, you don't need to quiet quit. What you need is to find your sweet spot. No team has ever won anything of significance without a coach, even in the rare instances where we've seen throughout sports history a player coach, the great Bill Russell, who we lost this week. The great Celtic was, for a time, a player coach of the Boston Celtics. I just believe in coaching. We all need somebody in our corner, someone who can see us and who can challenge us, and that's why we have launched the Ramsey Career Coaching Initiative. I've built a team of professional coaches that are very experienced from executive coaching on down that can meet with you on an ongoing basis and help you get where you want to go. I have limited time with folks on the phone. They can do deep dives with you, and the ROI always returns. It always returns positively. So we have limited to just 30 participants, and we still have a couple spots. To find the career coach that's right for you, go to kencoleman.com/coaching, kencoleman.com/coaching. Baton Rouge, Louisiana is where Tyler is. Tyler, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how's it going?
Man, I'm living the dream. What are you doing?
No, I'm sitting at a computer trying to figure out life.
There we go. I like it. So how can I help?
All right, well, Ken, I'm 23, and I actually have a job that I really do enjoy right now, but it's definitely not something that I would like to do for the rest of my life. But right now I am actually in line for a promotion that could potentially be my sweet spot.
Okay.
But I'm not sure how much it lines up with my passion. The promotion, you know, it's more money. I get a company vehicle, and it seems like a really good position for a guy, especially my age, and a good spot for a newlywed. And so we just had a baby.
Okay.
So it's something that's definitely seems like it'll work out for me.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure this is something that I love.
Yeah, I like this question. All right, let's just figure this out. So what do you think you want to do? What's up the ladder at the top of the ladder where this thing might be positioning you well? What's the ultimate goal, the destination?
Oh, well, the ultimate goal for me definitely is to be able to provide for my family.
Oh, I know that. But I'm talking about when you set up the question, what you said to me was, hey, I've got a chance for a promotion. It's good pay. It might get me to a place where I could step into my sweet spot. So I'm just trying to figure out what you were talking about.
Well, I'm in the automotive industry.
Okay.
Basically, it's a fast loop service. We take care of vehicles. We take care of people. And I have a passion for being in leadership and helping other people step up to leadership and improve their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always said my real passion would be in the fitness industry.
Great.
And in sales.
Okay. All right. That's what I'm getting at. So this position, this promotion is what? What would you be doing?
So I'd be in area management.
Okay. So would you be turning the wrench at all anymore? A little bit? Not at all?
A little bit. I do enjoy turning the wrench, but that's definitely not a passion of mine.
And
in that position, there's a little bit of wrench turning, but
right. Is there any
not
sales?
Near as much what I'm doing.
Gotcha. Is there any sales or customer service interaction that you would get in this management role?
Well, in that position, when it comes to customer interaction, it's usually because something negative went up the ladder.
Yeah.
Typically, the sales and taking care of customers when they're in a good mood is handled at the store level.
Gotcha. How much of a financial promotion would it be?
Well, right now, gross, I make about $60,000. And in this next position, it varies because it's mostly a bonus-based pay.
Okay.
So dollars per hour is really not that much, not much of a jump. So, I mean, maybe $20,000 or so when it comes to the bonus.
Okay. And are the bonuses paid at the end of the year, quarterly? What's that look like?
Monthly.
That's fantastic.
Based off the store's profit monthly.
So how would $20,000 more feel to you and your wife right now with the baby?
No, it would definitely help out a lot. We're looking for a house, so $20,000 a month would definitely help with the baby sales, that's for sure.
That's fantastic. All right, so now, if you were to transition into physical fitness, that's your true passion, right? Physical training, that type of work, but selling that, is that what I'm hearing? Or would you be an actual trainer?
I've always had a passion for training.
Okay, great. So what does the transition look like? We only have a few minutes, so you don't have to do a long-winded version, but what kind of qualifications would you need to get, and how much would that cost, and how long would that take to put you in a position where, let's just say that you had all that stuff, and then you could actually go get a job being a physical trainer? How long would that take, roughly? How much would that cost you?
Well, to start a position, it wouldn't take long at all. Costing certain certifications cost a lot more than others.
To do what you want to do. I mean, to be the man doing what you want to do, how much would it cost you roughly? Are we talking several thousand dollars to get certified?
No, probably less than several thousand dollars.
Okay. And how much time would it take to get
It would take a lot of time. So it's a lot of study time.
Okay. So give me a ballpark.
And experience.
I'm walking you into something, my friend. Work with me a little bit. How long do you think it would take to do all the studying and get certified?
6 months.
All right, 6 months. And that's if something life doesn't happen, it may delay you, whatever, 6 months. All right, now, what would your starting salary be, do you think, or your starting hourly rate, knowing what you know about the industry? Could you match the the $80,000 that you're potentially going to make now?
Not in my area. In my area, in my research, between $35,000 and $40,000 a year.
Okay.
So on average.
All right, so you see where the challenge is? We've got a dream.
Yeah, definitely financially.
Yeah, so what has to be true, and you don't have to answer this now. I'm not asking you now to put you on the spot, but this is your homework.
Mm-hmm.
What has to be true for you to make $80,000 in the physical training business? You understand what I'm asking?
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to make you answer it on the air, but I'll give you a start, a head start on your answer. Well, I'm going to have to get to a point where I own something, right? And I'm making money off of everybody else, or you're going to have to do your homework on this. But if I want to be in the physical training space and I need to make 60 to 80 for my family, how does one go about making $60,000 to $80,000 in the space? This is the question you must answer, and it is answerable. You got to go dig. You got to go talk to people. You got to do your research. You got to go, hey, if I can't make $60,000 doing what I love in Baton Rouge, it's time to get a rider truck. Now, Tyler,
yes,
that's the way I'm wired, okay? I don't make decisions based on, well, I live in Baton Rouge. That's where my mom and dad and Uncle Larry and Aunt Mildred will live and everybody else. And, you know, I don't give a crap.
Believe me. Okay. Believe me, moving out of Baton Rouge would actually be a dream.
Well, it's already a reality if we're going to pursue what you want to pursue. So I'm saying embrace it. So here's what I'm telling you. I'm going to circle back to the question. I'd take the promotion for right now because that's real dollars. That not only makes things more comfortable for you and mama and little baby, but also allows you to save up money for this transition, whatever this transition looks like. And it's going to take you at least 6 months to study and get the certification that you need to be able to do what you want to do. So I take the promotion now, and it's not a sweet spot job. Doesn't have to be. It's the day job that allows me to get to the dream job. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, my man. Take it, because it might take you and your wife a year to figure out where we want to move and all that. So we're just going to stack that extra money, man, and it'll help you. Because one day you're going to have to lead people in your own company. And all this experience is going to be tremendously valuable. So I say take it and stack the dough.
That sounds like the dream to me.
You the man, Tyler. I appreciate it. Get to Nashville sometime. Come up and see the show. And during a commercial break, I'll come out and we'll do some push-ups. See how I do. Somebody hit me on Instagram yesterday. They said, I did a live Q&A. So he said, if I bring food, will you taste it? I said, after my official taster samples it and has no negative symptoms, then I'll give it a bite. The answer is I'll eat whatever you bring. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.